Welcome to the annual meeting of Kansas Midnight Disaster Service. I'm John Clausen. I'm chairman of the Kansas unit. I'm from Grace Hill Midnight Church near Whitewater, and we're glad all of you are here. I think for right now we will start with our opening hymn. Tim Miller is in charge of that. Coming.
Come thou, O
I'd like to thank the Center AM Church for hosting us today, and we have Pastor David Yoder from this church who will lead us in a devotional.
Welcome. It is good to have you here, and it is nice to be able to provide the venue for this meeting this time. In thinking over what would be appropriate to share at a time like this, I came across the words in Matthew 5, where Jesus said this to his disciples: "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." One of the challenges in Christian ministry and service is that the author of life is the one that is actually seen, instead of the bearers of light. And being human, we sort of like the honor of bearing the light. And we sort of like some of what comes with that honor. There's no question about it that probably MDS, I'm sure with other agencies as well, but MDS as much as any has left its mark in the world, especially here in America. And that's appropriate. And I think all of our concern is that what we do does, in fact, glorify the author of light and not the bearers of light. Today, on the way home from church, my wife and I got into a little discussion. I said, remember that picture that I gave to my uncle Amos of his son and I. My uncle Amos here in the audience has a son about my age, and we haven't seen much of each other for many years, but last spring we had an opportunity to meet. And so, as you do after you've been together for a bit or been apart for so long and together, we took a picture together. I gave that to Amos, and he told me that blesses him when he sees it. So I told Susanna that on the way home, and then she said that he was blessed by the picture that I gave him. And sort of in mock seriousness, she wanted to set the record straight. She said, "I gave that picture." "Oh," she said, "yeah, I printed it. I went to Walmart and I printed that picture off. I put it in an envelope and I put it in his mailbox." I said, "But it was my idea." "Yeah," she said, "it was." And I said, "Now, when someone gives us a gift," just to drive the lesson home to her, that is, "when someone gives us a gift and we say this is a blessing from God, it's God we look to, right?" In other words, I was still winning the credit for having done it. The point is simply this, that we can get so intent about doing good that we want to get ourselves out where we can be seen. The truth of the matter is, if it's going to have eternal value, it's going to have to be the giver of light, not the bearer of light, that is seen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we thank you that you've called us into your kingdom. We thank you that you have given us a light to bear, to carry forth to the world. We just pray your special blessing on MDS and the work that they do. Pray a special blessing on this meeting and the way that this will further the service that MDS renders. Pray that you would bless Brother John as he leads out, and the speaker of the afternoon, that you would grace him with words that honor you and serve us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
is called A Morning Prayer, written by Raymond J. Shank, Harry Shank's grandpa, right? Words and Melody by Harry Shank's grandpa. Second song, Meet for the Master's Use. And the third song, Where Across the Crowded Ways. Harry also helped, he picked the songs, and he also wrote two verses especially for this occasion for the last song. I think you'll figure out which those are. So I hope that can be a blessing to you here today.
God would choose meet for the man. where storm winds howl or flood waters roil, for neighbors far or neighbors near, we live our faith in loving toil. The cup of water given for thee still holds the freshness of thy grace, yet long these multitudes to see the sweet compassion of thy face. More than our building projects and tools, our highest calling transcends what's seen. We stand beside bewildered souls, we nurture hopes and rebuild dreams.
Thank you, Tim, for organizing the special music, for Harry for adding a couple special verses to that last song, and I'd like to especially thank the Amish youth for their support of MDS through participating in the projects that they've participated in, and for sharing us with us in song today. Ask for Dwight Mueller to come up and to read the minutes for his annual meeting from last year.
Sunday, January 20, 2008, at 2:30 at the Hillsboro MD Church in Hillsboro. John Clausen, State Chair, welcomed everyone and introduced the board and others associated with the Kansas MDS unit. Following an open hymn, Pastor Bill Danberg from Hillsboro MD Church welcomed the group and led a short devotional on thanksgiving and praising God based on Psalms 136. Special music was enjoyed from the local quartet Mark IV. Dwight Mueller read the minutes from the January 21, 2007 annual meeting held at Plainview Mennonite Church near Hutchinson. Minutes were approved as read. Reporting for Treasurer Jerry Selzer, John Clausen handed out the Treasurer's report. John stated that over $91,000 in donations were made to the Kansas unit in 2007, with over $30,000 spent in Greensburg. Expenses for the year included purchase of a Ford truck to pull job trailers, $5,000 to the Heston College Disaster Management Scholarship Fund, and a tool trailer to be used for early response. John reported that there is still money available for gas expenses on trips to help with Katrina. Total account balances as of 12/31/07 were $110,216. After no questions, the report stood as presented. Kansas Coordinator Gordon Unruh reported that volunteers responded to the following areas this past year. Storms northwest of Jetmore required fence work. The series of tornadoes which destroyed most of the town of Greensburg and many other areas in its path. Storms that destroyed 40 homes in the Bennington area. Irvin Ettinger and Don Hester organized a group of 35 people to help clean up there. Flooding from Topeka down to southeast Kansas. Pat and Will Gilliland worked with volunteers in those areas. Gordon said that there are out-of-state volunteers in Greensburg now and would like to see more people from Kansas helping there during the winter months. In October, Gordon went to Ellenwood and visited with the Catholics who wanted input from MDS to help them start a disaster response program. Gordon also spent a rewarding week at the Past Christian, Mississippi MDS site. John stated that Greensburg is a binational site and that for the first 3 months following the tornado, Kansans contributed more than 4,500 volunteer work days. John then introduced the speakers, Paul Unruh and Kenny Unruh from the Greensburg area, who shared their stories from their experiences during and after the Greensburg tornado. Paul Unruh lived south of Greensburg and detailed the events surrounding the evening of May 5th, 2007. Paul described his unexplained urgency during this particular storm, unlike many other storms, to guide his family quickly but very calmly into the basement, where 15 seconds later the tornado hit. During those moments in the basement, Paul recalls an overwhelming sense of how blessed he and his family have been. They came out of the basement and their house was gone. He pointed out the story of the Good Samaritan and to look at it from the victim's point of view, in that Mennonites often have a hard time accepting help. Paul found that being listened to and being encouraged was helpful to him as a victim. Kenny Unruh lived north of Greensburg, and his farm was spared. He shared that 962 homes were totally destroyed, and 111 homes were partially destroyed in the Greensburg the night the tornado hit at about 9:45 p.m. Kenny described the naked feeling of having places you eat, get gas, mail letters, buy groceries, drink coffee, and worship God be gone in an instant. He cited God's sense of humor that all nine of the churches in town were destroyed, but the pool hall and the liquor store were spared. He said that sometimes destruction has to take place to receive blessings. Kenny helped many people after the storm and said that listening is very important in the early stages of a disaster. Kenny shared that MDS is in the business of touching the lives and hearts of those in need. And by touching those hearts, God is being shown to them, and they do not forget that. Paul and Kenny's positive attitude following this experience was inspiring to the group. Following a closing hymn, John closed the meeting, and refreshments were served by the host church.
Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes that anybody knows of? If not, they will stand as read. Now we will have Jerry Seltzer present his treasurer's report.
I would like to do three things. First of all, give you sort of an overall picture of our current financial health, and then a bit more detail about how we have spent resources this year, and then finally follow up with just a brief explanation of something we learned during the year. We began the year with cash assets of about $112,000. The difference between what was reported in the minutes and this number would be some insurance interest that was accrued on some CDs that wasn't included in that. Overall, our income for 2008 was $11,277. And before you gasp, our expenses, and I'll explain a little bit more why this looks like it does, our expenses for the year were $65,000. Meaning that as at the close of this past year, we have available to use about $59,000 worth of mostly in CDs. A small amount of it's in a checking account. And just as a reminder, you know, we do have other assets. There's the building that Kansas MDS has title to in North Main Street in Heston. Also, the Ford pickup. A couple of Ford vans, a couple of utility trailers, and then numerous small tools and things like that that are part of our responsibilities. We have no outstanding liabilities, 21. Here then is just a bit more detail about our expenses and income. Donations. Again, we're over $7,000. We continue to be blessed by people who see our work as critical to the work of the church and contribute generously. Interest income is about a little over $4,000. In terms of our expenses, and by the way, I do have more detailed reports, some copies. If you would like to have one, just see me after the program. I'd be glad to give you that. Costs related to our buildings and tools were a little around $3,000, and almost half of that is insurance. And in fact, we increased the insurance a little bit this year to come closer to replacement value on the building itself. Then there's utilities, which make up about a third of it, and then some maintenance. Our cost to maintain the vehicles was $3,781. Again, probably about two-thirds of that is insurance, and then additional maintenance kinds of costs, registration, that sort of thing. Business and office would include printing, postage, telephone. During this past year, we subscribe to mobile phone service, one that can be specifically designated for the use of Kansas MDS. That's added some to the cost, but it will also turn out to be a real asset at points of need. For project travel, we spent over $3,500. That would be for projects in Kansas, primarily reimbursement for fuel and other expenses getting to Greensburg, to Chapman, to southeast Kansas, and places like that. But these were primarily Kansas, Kansas-related projects, people going to work in those areas. Actually, that number does also includes a number of trips were made to the Gulf area, still recovering from Katrina, and that would include some money that was reimbursed people for fuel going that direction. Then there were a series of sort of significant contributions we made to other groups. I think we felt as a board that we were holding on to a lot of resources that that should be invested in other places. People had been generous with us. As mentioned, in 2007, we were recipients, in fact, in 2006 as well, of several large estate gifts. And then in wake of Greensburg, there was just a generous outpouring of contributions, people wanting to assist in that. And so we had accumulated quite a large amount of money, and we felt like we really need to be moving that on so it's accomplishing some good. And as over the course of the year, we contributed $15,000 to the Heston College program that develops leadership for MDS. We fortunately had a fairly good year in terms of local catastrophes, but Region 3 in general was hit with a great deal of flooding. You recall the summer in Iowa, Missouri, and other places. And we forwarded to the for the use of Region 3 about $10,000. You are probably aware that the binational office is in the process, and maybe you'll give us an update on that today, of constructing a new facility in Akron. We contributed some to that. As mentioned, we'd been given a lot of money by people interested in helping at Greensburg, and one of the ways we felt we could do that would be to contribute directly to the church building project. We had previously agreed that we would support, for those who were rebuilding in Greensburg, we would support the inclusion of safe rooms, storm shelters, and in many cases above grade safe places for people to go at the rate of $1,000 per home, and during the year we had six more of those requests that we were able to honor. And board operating expenses were nearly $2,000. A bit of that was meetings in which involved meals, including one with Kevin King early in the year. Most of it, however, was to reimburse board members to attend Region 3 and binational MDS meetings. And then a small transfer that just kind of came in and out without... And then, so a total of about $65,000 is what we, I would say, spent or invested in other, the work of other organizations that we work with. I wanted to explain one thing that happened this year. I'll do so briefly, and it's just so that if you learn about it in some other context, you'll have a little bit of background, and hopefully you will also, if nothing else, you will go away with the feeling that the problem was resolved, okay? In late summer, early fall, we learned that our status with the Internal Revenue Service was had been suspended, which meant that we were no longer free to function as a 501c3 tax-exempt nonprofit organization. In exploring why that was, I really was never able to get a good explanation or even as to when that status had that happened to us. But over the, it resulted primarily, I think, from the fact that some changes in the law which require organizations such as ours to report to the IRS on an annual basis. There had been a change in the law, but also these large gifts that I mentioned had thrust us into a category of operations that we had never been in before, and it brought our income levels up to the point where we were required to tell the government, you know, where it came from and how, what we were doing with it and on what basis we could continue to function. So after a great deal of learning and work and the help of CPA in Newton, we've resolved that, and in sometime in early December, late November, I received a letter that stated that we were back in the good graces of Internal Revenue Service and could continue our work. So I say that only in case you hear, you know, out there somewhere some conversation about that. Just reassure people that we have clarified that we've we're back in good standing with the government and can continue to function as we have over the years. So.
Does anyone have any questions for Jerry about the treasurer's report? If not, it will stand as presented. I would like to give a thanks to Jerry for all the work he's done with that and for working with the accountant and whatever else he had to do to take care of our problem with the IRS, because that came as a surprise to all of us, and Jerry spent a lot of time taking care of that and getting us back in the good graces of the Internal Revenue Service. So thank you very much, Jerry. I also want to say that we do still have money available to help fund trips going down to the Gulf or to other MDS projects, binational projects, if a group wants to go. So just talk to somebody on the board if you intend to go and would like help paying for your transportation. We do have our two vans available. If they aren't in use and you give us enough lead time, they might be available to for a group to take also. Now, Gordon Unruh, we'll ask him to come up and give the Kansas coordinator's report.
It just seems like there's no end to disasters that come each year. There's always some new ones. 2008 was one of those years when the tornado, the major one that hit, actually started close to Salina and traveled through the countryside, hopped and skipped around, and then really hit the town of Chapman in a big way. And the biggest loss, well, there were a lot of losses in the town and even out in the country, but all the schools were hit, including the administration building, and there was quite a bit of damage there. And because of this tornado, there were several volunteers that went and helped one farmer close to Salina to clean up some outbuildings. That took a couple of days that they worked with them there. And then before the volunteers were allowed into the town of Chapman itself, there was a couple of groups that went two different days and helped out in the outlying areas to walk fields for one particular farmer. And it was interesting there at that farm when we were eating lunch at the farmstead that the lady told a couple of us need to come inside and see what was in the house. And it was interesting seeing a 2x6 that was about 12 or 14 feet long had been shot through the wall and went through two walls and a door jamb and into the bedroom of their little three-year-old if they would have been in, you know, they were in the basement, but just missed the crib by a little bit, by a little ways. And the 2x6 wasn't even splintered. It was kind of interesting that it just went in like a shot. And those farmers were very grateful for the work that MDS did. The people that worked there, it was difficult walking. They walked in a brome field, walked in wheat fields, and it wasn't easy walking. So, and it was hot and sultry days that some of them were there. So that was kind of interesting. Also, this past fall, MDS worked with a couple of days in southeast Kansas. The first day, the group that went worked at a particular man who had, who sometime before this had had a heart transplant. And so he was not able to do a lot of the hard physical work. Well, their house had been flooded in 2007 when that water hit, when that big flood hit in southeast Kansas. And so he had about 3 or 4 feet of water in his house. And they movers came and moved that house in three different sections. They cut it apart, moved it up on top of the hill, put it back together. And MDS went in there and helped to do some sheetrock work in there. And on that same day, there was a couple others that went and worked in doing some window trim in a house that had been flooded right in the town of Iola. And then a couple weeks later, a few of MDS workers went down to into the town of Neodashe, and they helped build a porch for a lady who was part of the time was in a wheelchair, and her house had been flooded as well. And so she bought a manufactured home up on top of the hill, and MDS helped to build the back porch. There had also been a group of engineers who had come from, I believe, the Topeka area somewhere. And the Methodist organization that was coordinating all the things going on in southeast Kansas had actually engineered that they would build a wheelchair ramp for this lady, and that was built already before we got there. But he said it was very interesting. Here it was, he was just a volunteer worker who designed the wheelchair ramp, and the engineers came and built it, and they thought that was kind of interesting. So kind of in reverse order there. So, but they, those engineers said that they had so much fun, they'd never done anything like that before, that they wanted to come back and do some more work for him. And it's interesting to see what people do. As part of my coordinator's report, about a year ago now, we had one family happened to be from our church, Roger and Buffy Bayshore, and their two children, Courtney and Nathan. They worked for I believe it was 3 months in the town of Greensburg. And I'd like you to meet that family and come up here, and they're going to share a few things about their work up there in Greensburg. Okay, they can come on up.
I'll start again. I'm Roger Bayshore. This is my wife, Buffy, my daughter, Courtney, who's 10, and Nathan, who is 8. I know you have a special speaker coming yet, too. We'll try to condense this as quickly as we can, but we had a very good experience going to Greensburg. A little bit about us, and then I'll let my wife and kids share. I was a heavy equipment operator for 11 and a half years. Enjoyed my job, enjoyed the work I did. There was just a lot of conflict with the company I worked for, and was I've been praying for over a year for just some change, that I wasn't happy, and I knew the Lord had something better for me to do, that I just wasn't where I was supposed to be, and I think he just kept sticking, as one MDS person I talked to said, well, he just kept putting sticks in my nest until I finally flew. Anyway, we felt like we had a really strong calling to go to Greensburg, and so Christmas of last year, I quit my job of 11 and a half years, and I think the morning we left for Greensburg, we had that point finally found some place to live in Greensburg. It ended up being a trailer that Bi-National left there for us to live in. But we gave up our about 1,300 square foot home and moved into a 30 by 8 trailer for 3 months. But anyway, I'll let my wife and kids share a little more with you, and then I'll get a little more to share at the end.
First of all, we're really excited to see you guys. You guys were there when we worked. That was so fun to see you guys. And you sang great. Sang great for us, too, there. So that was fun. Anyway, it was really, really exciting to go to Greensburg. It was, we were pretty nervous. We were very sure that God wanted us to be there. And I think a highlight for me, we did work there for 3 months. And for 2 months, I went out on the job site also. And then the last month we were there, they asked if I would help in the office, which was a huge stretch for me because I am really not a very organized or detailed person. But God works all that out. And the book's balanced. Yay. So that was great. It was really, really exciting for me to see. Every week we would get a new group of volunteers, and you didn't know those people at all, but it's so interesting how God just works everybody's personalities, and I think just the experience of coming there and having a common goal to work and to help these people and to reach out and to be Christ to those people just really bonds you quickly. And we made such great friends just in that 1 week that you're together. God just binds you together, and it's a really, really great experience.
Nathan and I went to school in Greensburg and made a lot of neat friends. And we went to church in Greensburg, and every time we go back, we go and visit him, and I would gladly do that again.
I liked finding stuff in the dirt, and the favorite thing that I found was a perfume bottle that I gave to my mom.
Nathan is our human metal detector. Our yard is fairly clean at home, but I'm amazed at the things that he finds. And so he had a hoot in Greensburg finding all kinds of stuff that had been blown away, smashed into the ground. Yeah, back to your young people here. I kind of thought of them as young people and kind of thought I was closer to their age, but they don't really know how things work as far as, like my wife said, God sends the right people at the right time. We had a house that had a basement that was in very sad shape, and for 2 months we worked on the house, and we had no labor that knew much about putting basements underneath houses, and these guys showed up for a week, and Monday morning, finally about 10 o'clock, we found out that there was, most of the guys on the crew put basements underneath houses for a living, and so they don't quite know how the story played out after they left, but they showed up, I mean, pretty much God's timing. They put the basement underneath the house that week for us, and the next week we had a plumbing guy come, the following week we had a heating and air guy come, and so like after they left and got the basement underneath the house, many things came into play that, anyway, like week by week, things just really fell into place after that as far as having the right people at the right time. That she was able to move into her house, I think about the second week in April, she got to move into her home. But anyway, Gordon asked us to share just a little bit. And since our experience, I know what the experience was like for me, and it's just hard to put it into words and to condense it into a short deal. Been kind of praying, okay, Lord, give me something to share here that would maybe convey my feelings or our experience there. Our pastor shared this last Sunday in church, and this really kind of struck me as how our experience in Greensburg was, or at least how my experience was personally as being a crew leader. I want to read to you from James 2, verse 14 through 17. What good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accomplished by action, is dead. Our pastor went on to share after he said that Christmas had just come, and his son is 3 years old, and he said he gave him some really neat, they had some really neat gifts for Christmas, and kind of translated it back into my own life, and that is my son Nathan has enjoyed putting Legos together, and that was something I enjoyed as a young child. And so this year we got him some more difficult Lego deals, and when me and him got down on the floor for 2 or 3 evenings, he wanted help. He said, Dad, help me put these Legos together. They were pretty complex. And as our pastor said, is God gives us all these gifts. They all come from him. And we say, Lord, help me with this. I want your help with it. And as I shared, I was an equipment operator. I tend to think I have quite a bit of common sense for putting things together, but I really have no building knowledge at all as far as construction. And so most of my morning started out, okay, Lord, send me the right guy that kind of knows what he's doing here, but help me through this today. I don't know what I'm doing. And I considered myself to be a very good crew leader. I had a really good time working there. I had really good groups that came down and worked with me. It was such a cool thing how when our pastor said that, it just clicked in my head that, you know, that's how it was. God gave me these gifts. He gave all of us all these gifts. And if we just asked him to come and play with us, you know, have a hoot. We had a blast as a young family. Anyway, so that's my encouragement to you or to share with other people is to take those gifts that God gave you and go out, work with MDS, work with your church, volunteer, and put those gifts to use. Thank you.
I guess this is one example where I'd really like to see families that volunteer together. It really makes quite an impression on the children as well as on the people that they work with.
Thank you, Gordon, and thank you, Roger and Buffy, for sharing. One person who isn't on the program, but I'd like to see if he has anything he'd want to say, is Russ Gattert. He's the head of the Heston College Disaster Management Program. Do you have anything you want to share, Russ? Or I'd at least like to acknowledge Russ's work with MDS and with the Heston College Program. Hey, our speaker today, Scott Sundberg, and he comes to us from Akron, from the binational office there, and he is director of communications, so I'll let him...
Say whatever else.
Yes, that's right.
I'm glad you didn't call me special speaker, so...
Well, after that family share, I thought we should just say amen and go home, because that's what MDS is all about, isn't it? Just how service can change the lives of the people we serve and we who are serving. One of my first and most lengthy times of service was some years ago when I went and lived in China for a number of years. Before I came to MDS, I was involved in the China ministry for 20-some years. And, you know, when you first volunteer, your life kind of changes. After living in China, I don't think the same, I don't drive the same, I don't look at the world the same, I don't even eat the same way. And some of that is because of the experiences you have. I remember my wife and I had moved third place in China I had lived, and by that time I thought I was pretty good at reading a Chinese menu in Chinese, and we went to a restaurant, and we were living on the coast, and I thought I saw a specific fish that I wanted to order in a certain dish. I thought, this looks really good. And when it came to our table, it was this kind of clear-looking jelly string things with ginger and soy sauce and some green onions in it. And I went back and looked at the menu and pulled out my dictionary, and I hadn't really meant to order a jellyfish salad. But my Chinese was good enough to almost order something. It wasn't good enough to say, can you please take this back? I feel sick. So we decided, well, we'll... like we had done many times in China, we'll try it. We'll be good team players. And the Lord says, you know, in the scriptures, eat whatever is set before you. So maybe before they set the plate down, maybe you should get up. I don't know. So, but we ate it, and believe it or not, we really liked it. And since then, I've started making that. I'll give the recipe to anyone who wants it later. Well, we this 1 year, another year in China, we were invited to go to a supposedly world-famous kite festival in this town called Weifeng. And you'll see there is a reason I'm bringing up this story. We were invited, and there was a brand-new hotel. It had been built, they said, we got there, nice hotel, I don't know how many stories high, and we were these special guests, these special foreign experts who were there. And so they sort of wined and dined us. Well, we didn't have the wine, but they dined us, and... The hotel owner and manager was going to the different foreigners around and the different guests, special guests there, toasting and saying how wonderful it was that this hotel had been built by peasant labor, because in a communist country that sounds really good. It also means unskilled, but peasant labor to build this hotel in such a short time in 3 months. And he was going table to table, and I was thinking, man, he's really kind of a blowhard here, kind of like a rooster, you know, going around crowing. And but, you know, it's not uncommon. And while we're sitting there, we had, you know, one of these dishes that was given to us, another food thing. They served this dish that was silkworm larvae, and they were deep fried. And so these little brown things, and, oh, it gets better. And we were a team there. We were going to have these. And so everyone at our table tried them. And they had a very distinct flavor. It was sort of like a leaf wrapped around dirt, but not quite as good. But as we're sitting there eating, I'm looking at the windows. There's this whole bank of windows on one side of the dining room. And off in the distance, I'm noticing that there's this incredibly dark cloud that covers the whole horizon, and it's coming toward us fast and fast. It was one of those clouds or storms or both that it felt like it was just literally sucking the light out of the outside. And I point to everybody, I said, look, what's going on? We all line up by the windows, and the storm suddenly just comes across us. Everything is black. And then the sky let loose. It was pouring rain like a waterfall. The interesting thing was, it wasn't just raining on the outside. As we're standing by the windows, the rain was coming down on the inside too, from stories up above. And as I looked at the construction, here's a good MDS lesson, they had these pillars that went several stories high, which would join the window wall and the flooring, but between the flooring and the windows, apart from those pillars, there was nothing. It was just a gap. So you could have said hello to the, you know, person down several stories high or below. And I don't know if they had way up above, if there were windows open or if they hadn't finished the ceiling, but it had been done in 3 months, so that was something to be proud of. But it was this incredible storm. And we went to our rooms, and there as well, the water had come down and wet some of our clothes and some of our paperwork. It really wasn't much, though, of a disaster for us. It was definitely, though, a disaster for the person who was, you know, being so proud about this. And since I've come with MDS, I've thought about this often. You know, I thought, well, you know, is God in his sometimes quirky sense of humor, because I believe he does have a sense of humor, you know, was he kind of mocking this man? Well, I didn't really think so. And, you know, there's that verse in Matthew, I can't remember if it's chapter 5 or not, but where it says, you know, rain falls on the just and the unjust. You know, we heard about how in Greensburg, all the churches were wiped out. Well, that's where you'd think the just people were. And yet, the bars and the pool halls and such were surviving. You know, in New Orleans, one of the things was, they said, well, this debauched, horrible city, it's God's judgment on it. Dennis Jantz, who works with MDS down there, a Mennonite who teaches at university there, said that when Hurricane Katrina came through, there was a radio preacher who was saying, this is God's judgment on New Orleans. The interesting thing, though, is we often think of the most debauched part of New Orleans as being the French Quarter. And boy, did they have rain. It probably got about that thick. They were virtually untouched. Supposedly, that preacher, that when Hurricane Rita came through, wiped out his church. So again, I don't know if God has a sense of humor or not. But when I've thought of this, I've often thought about a passage about Elijah. When you read about Elijah, this incredible character who comes on the scene in a flurry, well, after all the things that Elijah goes through and the contest on Mount Carmel, you know, Jezebel says, let's get him, and Ahab says yes, and he goes and he's in the wilderness, and finally he finds himself exhausted, a discouraged and completely depleted patriarch, in a sense, who is standing on a certain mountain. The same mountain, they say, that according to Scripture, that Moses received the Ten Commandments, and where Moses himself argued with God about the fate of the Jews who had rebelled against him. Well, when Elijah's on that mountain, God asks him a question. Do you remember what that question is? Elijah, son of man, why are you here? And Elijah goes through this spiel, well, the You know, people have killed the prophets of whom only I am left and blah, 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 and stuff about Jezebel and things like that. And he's feeling really sorry for himself. And I'm sure he's a little angry at God, too. Why am I here? Why are they trying to kill me? And God says, well, step outside. All right, you want to step outside with me, right? Kind of, I don't know if that's the attitude. But what happens? There comes a windstorm so severe that it cracks the rocks. There's a storm of fire. There's an earthquake. I mean, can you imagine being on this mountain, standing outside of a cave, and all this going on? But after each of those successive disasters, the fire, it says in Scripture, the Lord was not in the fire. Then comes the wind, and the Lord was not in the fire, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And that's what I think it is. It says, Elijah, step outside. And there was the sound of sheer silence, depending on how you translate that scripture. There's the sound of sheer silence. It sounds kind of like a conflict of terms, but it says that the God was in the quiet. And I thought about that with MDS. You know, after this, God wasn't in the storm. God isn't in the storms that we respond to, but he is there afterwards. Now, if MDS is involved, that sound of sheer silence only lasts a couple of days, because soon you'll hear the sound of tarps getting on roofs and chainsaws going and cooking pots bubbling and all the work and the singing and the joy that occurs when we're helping people. So God is in that kind of non-silence. God is there after the storm. And I think, too, about the question that God asked Elijah right after the wind. I mean, after the sheer silence, he says to him again, why are you here? When Elijah stepped out of that cave, he put his mantle over and he was quite humbled before the face of God, the being of God. And I'm sure that when he responded now, it was, well, oh, they're trying to kill me and sorry, Lord, I don't. But the Lord never answers his question. When Elijah says, why is this happening? It's more, but why are you here? We don't know why the storms happen. And I can think that God is not in the storms, but he is in what happens after the storms, and that is MDS. And seeing the things that have happened this last year and these last several years, a year ago, if I'd have stood here, we would have said we had 12 projects that were going on. Right now, we have 14. It's record-breaking. And just a little statistic for you. For volunteers this last year, we had almost 5,000. Last year, we actually had 6,650. Part of that was because we had, I think it was 3,000 day volunteers who came into Greensburg. I believe that was right. So that's why those numbers were so high. And this year, we had a number of day volunteers who went into Iowa after that flooding. So with almost 5,000 volunteers, we did 208 jobs. What it comes out to, too, is over 26,000 volunteer work days. Imagine if you had to pay the hours for that. But we, you know, MDS, as you know, we help to extend the dollars of the clients. They may get some money from some insurance or from FEMA, but we help them with that construction, and we serve in that way. This coming year, we, now, like I said, 14 projects, and they go all the way from California over into Mississippi. One of them, I'll go in an order that I have here. Storm Aid is our one that is predominantly Amish run down in Passe Christiane, and they've been working there for several years. They earlier this fall, they started some houses, and I think right about now or next month, they're going to go back and do some more work. And I was able to be at their celebration as they talked about some of the work that was done, and that was pretty incredible. Then we also have, in Iowa, the flooding that happened there, we responded. And what I was told, and it seems pretty amazing, I think I may have been talking with Jerry Wise about this earlier, that I was told that 400 blocks had been flooded in Iowa City alone. And one of the special things I think about MDS, even though we're there soon after the storm, when the media is there, when the media is gone, MDS is still there. In that quiet, the quiet of the press, the quiet of the world, we're still paying attention. I met talked to a person with Homeland Security, and he saw my shirt. He's, Mennonite Disaster Service. You go in quietly, you do your job, and you leave quietly. He mustn't be there when the job's going on, because, again, that's not very quiet. In Iowa, I was talking to several of our clients, and it's interesting how one thing we often think about is with these disaster areas. Why do people live there? Have you ever asked yourself, why do people just stay in New Orleans and in these hurricane areas? Well, I lived in California for way too many years, and people there would say, well, why do people live in Kansas with the tornadoes and the ice storms? And we ask Californians, why do you live there? Because of the earthquakes and the earthquakes and the fires, and because all the Californians live there. Why would you live there? That's why I'm here. So if you look at a map of the United States and you were to chart out on that map where disasters occur, most of the United States and parts of Canada are prone to disasters at some time, one or another. You have to decide yourself, well, which disaster am I willing to live with? You'd probably rather live with the possibility of tornadoes than an earthquake. There was an earthquake in Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago. It was on the 8th of January. It's the January earthquake, January 8th quake, they call it, the big quake of 08. Well, it was 3 point something, and for me in California, we were getting 6.2 and thinking, oh, my computer's shaking, what do I do? But in Pennsylvania, that was a big deal. But would you want to move where there are earthquakes or fires that come within maybe a yard from your house? That happened to me once. So it's a challenge to sometimes wonder why, to ask ourselves and to answer, why do people continue to live in the face of disaster? But disaster will happen virtually everywhere. Down in New Orleans, a couple of weeks ago, my wife went down to work for a week, and she was very specific. She wasn't going to cook, and I'm sure the people there were thankful of that. I do the cooking at home. And she said, I couldn't have asked for a better vacation. People told me what to do. I did it, and that was that. She spent her time mudding and sanding, mudding and sanding, mudding and sanding. Not my idea of a vacation, but it works for her great. But when she was down there, I mean, she met one of our clients, Charles Duplessis, and his wife, Thyra. And we were asking Thyra recently kind of that question. Why, we here outside of the Gulf want to know, why do you live here? Her answer, I thought, was very compelling. And basically, I could sum it up like this. She says, well, we own the land. That's a pretty big deal for lots of people. We own the land. She also said, you know, it's our destiny. And the third thing was probably the most important one. She says, because God called us here. That's where they are to minister and to be in God's will. So we're also working in Dulcera, California. The fires that occurred two or more years ago, it's taken this long to cut through the bureaucracy to actually start a project. We hope that after that begins, that we'll be able to actually open another project as the faith in us grows. They've had a lot, the areas where we're working in have had a lot of problems with past agencies, not MDS, but we need to build up their trust. And building up that trust is something that MDS hopes we can do, for instance, in Pitcher, Oklahoma. Jerry Wise is the project director there. And in Pitcher, Oklahoma, the project we're working on, of course, is not in Pitcher. It's outside the town, a different water system. They're not affected by the challenges or the buyout or all the things that Pitcher is going through. But there's a fellow there who whose house blew away. The tornado came. He heard it coming. He had learned that he'd go hide in the ditch, so he went into the ditch and held onto the grass, but he also had his camera. And he saw his house lifted essentially off the ground, put about 100 feet away, bam, and splintered. And so he was hesitant to get help from MDS. But through some talkings with our caseworker there, he's willing. And we kind of call this our seed house. We hope that by building this house, that eventually other people will come out of the woodwork and say, okay, I can trust this. This guy's house looks good. He trusts you. Maybe I can trust you as well. So right now we just have, we have three long-termers there and lots of day volunteers. We welcome you to contact the office down there and see about volunteering. We still have a lot to do. But in 8 days, it was the foundation, the framing, it was all sealed in within 8 days. In fact, they closed it in on that day. It was probably 9 degrees, which they had said was the coldest day in Oklahoma they'd had in 12 years. So, But there's another project that we hope can really bring about to where the trust for MDS and the work that we're doing in serving the Lord comes out into people's attention. We're also working in Marble Falls, which is in Texas because of flooding. Newton, Texas, we have an RV project, and again, we thank the work that went down there before in building those houses. One thing that I found very interesting is when we were talking about Amish groups going down there, I was down in Nashville, Arkansas, I believe it was, and I was talking there with John Harvey Schwartz, right? Schwantz, sorry. And we were talking about how this would be a great opportunity for the government to see how alternative service can work in case there was another draft. And that was a lot of discussion, but during a break, John came over to me and sat right next to me, and he said, well, you know, it'd be great if this could help us in building all these houses to give some answers to the government as to what would happen if there was a draft. But really, he said, the reason we're building these houses is to bring glory to God. And indeed, that's why we're doing it. So we have an RV project. The one in Marble Falls is RV, meaning it's kind of a self-contained camp where they come in with RVs and live in those. MDS tries to supply an office trailer to provide that for them. So Marble Falls, Newton, Texas, and then also in Deweyville, Texas, we're building a house there. New Orleans is still going strong. It's difficult sometimes because of the bureaucracy, but they're working on houses there, and we expect to be there for quite some time. The Lower Ninth Ward was one of the most impacted areas, and that's where we hope we can be the best impact there as well. Past Christian, there's another team as well besides StormAid, been working there for many years. Aniwak, Texas, another Newton project, Cameron, Louisiana, New Iberia in Louisiana, and Diamond, Louisiana. So quite a lot going on, not to mention the things that don't quite get to all of our attention. I was in Arkansas several months ago when a tornado hit outside of Conway, and I went there with a man called Jerry Clausen and Jerry Grosh, and this little area had been just ripped to shreds by the tornadoes. But within hours, the people who were living there, one lady who's the top of her house had been ripped off and three of the walls had been ripped off, she'd put up a tarp on one side and was serving food to the volunteers. And the food had been donated by local churches. And behind her were some 40 or more Amish Mennonite youth walking the fields. And it was interesting to be out there walking with them and having them say, well, do I save this? What should we do with that? And one woman whose house had been destroyed, a grandma, I went over there and introduced myself, and she said, do you work at the same organization? I said, yes, and she gave me this humongous hug. And she says, you know, when my son saw that storm coming, he pushed me down as fast as he could and as hard as he could into the basement. She said, I ruptured my tailbone. But, she said, I'm alive. When the storm had come and gone, we got up, and within, I don't know, it seemed like minutes, she said, it was probably a couple hours, these Amish were out here walking our fields. But my son said to me, looking at our house, he said, how could this happen to us? How could God do this to us? And she said, well, I looked out into the fields where those volunteers were out there walking and helping. And I said, what did we do to deserve this? People helping us like this. So it's incredible to see what MDS, what you can do as we are MDS together. Now, some other things that are going on. We mentioned the disaster management program. We have the Partnership Home Program, where a church or a community or a group of churches can, with MDS, find a family, often in the Gulf, but it could be someplace else, who needs a home. And the church will often then build most of the home on their property somewhere, or in a, you know, a parking lot, it could be in an airport hangar, wherever, and it'll be built in panels. And we did an experiment with this at a conference in San Jose, California, a year and a half ago, and since then we have built three houses in church parking lots, and then taken them apart and put them down in the Gulf where people would live, and finish them off down there. And we have another group in Virginia who's doing that as well. So that's something for you all to consider. And some other things, I have back in the back there some of our, it's a new volunteer guide. There are only a few, but if you need one, let me know. We used to have a notebook, and now we hope it's all together in a more compact item. And if you don't get our newsletter, Behind the Hammer, it's changed a lot in the last several months. We've tried to bring color to it and things. I was at a college, and I saw ours sitting next to a bunch of others, and I barely noticed it. So we've added some color on the outside, and so that's something to pick up. We have our all-unit meeting coming over Valentine's Day. Now, some of the other questions that we've had, for instance, the house or the building of the office and warehouse. We are at the MDS office, we're kind of bursting at the seams. In May, we're actually going to have someone from the HESSN program, Abby, who's going to come there and work as an intern and help us as we try and contact more churches and make sure that we have the right contact person or the new contact person and things like that, things that we just don't have time to do as she does some other projects for us. We don't have a place for her to sit. You should have left us for just a few minutes and then come back. We'll find some place for her to be, though. But we need a place where we can do more training. We depend on MCC for their space, but more and more MCC space is full, so we have difficulties in training. We want to build some of these panel houses at that location, and we just hope we can train more leaders and more people to volunteer for us. Now, a question we've had, though, with this economic downturn, what has happened with MDS? When Hurricanes Gustav and Ike came through, we saw donations at just a bare minimum. We had $7,000 that came in, I think. And for some reason, I got contacted by MSNBC, their TV news and internet news thing, and they interviewed me. We got twice as much donations, and they were already up to $14,000. When you think about disasters, that's pretty minimal to support a lot of volunteers. We've since gotten probably closer to $40,000. We wonder if it isn't disaster fatigue, if it isn't economic fatigue, if it was because of the elections. We don't know. However, once a year we do a fall fund appeal, and that has been coming in very good. But one thing that's interesting, our volunteer level is at a record high. Why do you think? I think some reason, maybe because people want, well, maybe I can do something. I can give my services rather than my money. Some of us also think, I have two contractor friends, one of them my father-in-law, who that says, well, if it stays slow, I'm going to come with MDS this spring. So I think some people who are having it slow or maybe laid off are coming and volunteering. Now, I think John also had another question about the building. Where are we with it? Well, we've purchased the land, and we'd been working with that for around close to 3 years, I think. And when we were first looking to build or use some property, we looked at lots of different properties, things that we could rebuild, refurbish, or whatever, but there really wasn't anything that would fit our needs and have warehouse space. So we ended up purchasing this land. And the original amount, I believe, was around $2.4 million, but it included, of course, all the parking. We want to do some geothermal, so long-term it would be beneficial. And it may be a little more than that when we eventually get to build. We have about $1 million right now, and we're going to tell more about it at the all-unit meeting. One of the things we're thinking of doing, though, I told you that we have a certain number of projects going on right now. Do you remember how many? 14. Well, we want to make that 15 and have the warehouse office build be another project. And so that people can invest their time, if not their money, and come and help build, be our MDS office barn raising or something you might want to call it. I think it's a great idea. So there's still a lot of work to do with that, with financing and for different permits, but we're really excited about that. So that was a lot, but now I'd like to see, do you have any questions? Or I should ask you, why are you here? To be MDS, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to be the gospel in overalls. But otherwise, other questions? What we need this summer, we need leadership for youth more than anything. I think most of our youth programs are probably full, but there might be some possibility, so I would say call our office. But I know we definitely need leadership for our youth this summer. All right. Well, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Scott, for letting us know what is happening with MDS. Before we get to the closing hymn and closing prayer, I have a few things, a few remarks. our introductions, I'd like to introduce our board or those who are here. So if I call your name, you might stand up and wave. If you want to sing a song, I guess you could. But Nate Nisley is our vice chairman. Dwight Mueller, you met, as our secretary. Jerry Seltzer as our treasurer. Cliff Friesen is a board member. He couldn't be here today. Pat Gilliland and Will Gilliland. Pat is on the board representing Kansas Friends of Mennonite Central Committee. Don Hostetter couldn't make it today. Lauren Kiefer from this church. Brian Lady is from up around Abilene. He couldn't make it. John Miller. Melvin Miller. Edna Reimer couldn't make it. Bruce Thiessen. And Orville Zimmerman. That is our board representing various Mennonite denominations. One other thing I'd like to tell you that we're going to be working at is to try and bring our Kansas board into the technology era a little bit. We are going to be trying to get email addresses from any contact people and also from churches so that when something happens, we can send out an email to let you know. We think it will be a little bit faster to let you know what we're going to be doing in disasters. We will still have phone numbers for Gordon that you can call for questions, or those who don't have email, we will be getting out the word through phone contacts, but we're going to be trying to do a little bit more electronically. We think we can be more efficient. Hopefully we can maybe even do a little better job communicating with people. You'll be able to communicate with us through the email also. So one thing I would like to do after the program is any contact person or any person who would like to possibly get emails when disasters happen can sign up on this sheet. If you know your church email address, you can put that down also. Or you can contact us with it if you don't know it now. And I can give you an email address to contact, or I will put it on this sheet and you can look at it and write down, or if you want to know, you can ask me. But we do have a new email contact for Kansas. It's kansasmds@gmail.com, if you can remember that. kansasmds@gmail.com. So it's something we've been talking about for a while, and we're trying to move that way. I think that's all I have for now, if Tim will lead us in the closing song.
For in thy name.
Let us bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and to talk about your work. We thank you for MDS and for the work it does. And let us remember that when we are asked, why are you here, we can say to bring glory to God. We ask you to be with us as we depart today, to watch over us, to help us do your work. These words we pray. Amen. I think there are some cookies and drink out over here, Lauren points. So please stay in fellowship and have some cookies.